Hello and welcome to this week's Taxation Podcast, issue number 4301, which will be available to view online from the 27th of April 2011 and followed in print the next day. I'm Rachel Down and I'm joined by Taxation's Editor-in-Chief, Mike Truman.
Hi there.
Hi. On what will actually be my last podcast with you?
Yeah, we should explain that this is because Rachel's got a new job. She's only been an intern here. She got herself a permanent job. Very good news. With a
yep.
competitor. Not quite such good news.
I won't give away any secrets.
No, you're not allowed.
Despite the bank holidays and Easter celebrations, this week's issue is still a cracking one. Sorry, yes. I couldn't resist with that one. First up, Philip Fisher tackles our comment piece, The 10-Day Test, by raising the alarm for individuals who are seconded overseas but also need to work in the UK. Philip begins by suggesting this topic has been a political hot potato for some time. Would you care to elaborate, Mike?
Yeah, this is the issue of what happens when people are, as you say, they go to work overseas, they think they're non-resident, but they have to come back and do some substantive work in the UK. Now, technically speaking, if they do any substantive work, then they're caught and they're resident, can be. For practical purposes, the revenue will actually allow you to do some work in the UK, some substantive work in the UK. And they have now said specifically that 10 days of substantive work will not be a problem. That's got quite poorly reported along the way that, you know, if you spend 10 days in the UK, you are automatically resident. No, it's not like that. If anything, this is actually quite a relaxation from what they've previously publicly said anyway. But it does just highlight the need for a statutory residence test, because it really is ridiculous that we don't quite know whether or not someone's resident or not.
Yeah, we see cases all the time about it.
Yeah, the cases, wow. I mean, I know you've been following, so the Grace case.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know, as you hear the case going through, it's all based on case law, it's not based on statute, and it's not even based on the revenues guidelines.
Yeah.
And we've got Gaines Cooper on the effect of IR20 going to the Supreme Court, apparently, probably sometime at the end of the year. So, it is a bit of a problem.
Let's hope that brings some resolution.
Well, exactly.
Next we have an income tax feature by Keith Gordon, The Service Company Question, which investigates how taxpayers should answer the question about income from service companies. What are your thoughts on this piece, Mike?
My thoughts are that HMRC must sometimes get fed up with Keith. Not that we do at all. I think it's great that he sort of will keep at these things. Most people, I think, have either answered the service company question or ignored it. Keith, quite rightly, has asked whether or not it should be there at all, and whether there is any requirement to answer it, and has appealed and not withdrawn his appeals until he's got the right answer. I mean, I think I'm going to let people actually read the article before they're sure, but it does give the answer and it gives HMRC's verdict on it. So yes, he's got sort of written, being the lawyer that he is, he's got written evidence of what he needs. So, yeah, excellent.
Moving on to our next feature, Little Sigh, our deputy editor Richard Curtis attempts to draw your attention to a recent statutory instrument. Would you care to tell us more?
Yeah, a little sigh, as in a little SI. Those are the sorts of puns that we sort of manage here. It's the PAYE amendment regulations, and it sounds terribly boring, but he goes through it, sort of just looking at what it's talking about, and it introduces new codes. There's a D1 code to ensure that you get full 50% tax deducted if you've got a sort of second job and you're already over 50% on the other. One or two things like that, which are really quite useful. It also explains, to Richard's surprise, and I must admit to mine, that the code that I always thought was OT is apparently officially 0T. So, you learn something new every day, I suppose. Quite how useful that is, I'm not sure. But we've always called it OT, but anyway, there we go.
Our last article, F.A. Fudge, written by Neil Warren, adopts an entertaining angle on the ins and outs of flat rate schemes and fixed assets. What have the readers got in store?
I think I'm going to ask the question and then leave it to them to find the answer by reading the article. You've got a flat rate trader who buys a Mercedes car for £50,000. Obviously can't reclaim the VAT, even though it's an expensive asset, because it's blocked, it's a car. And then 3 years later he sells it for £30,000. Have you got any VAT issues to worry about? And if you're thinking, reading this, listening to this rather, you know, no, of course not, what's the problem? You really better read the article.
Well, that's about it for our post-Easter podcast, and for the last time I must say goodbye. Thanks as always to the listeners, and Mike, to you for having me these past 7 months.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Remember to tune in next week for some more taxation teasers via the podcast, and goodbye.
Bye now.